Hello, and welcome to Silver Threads, a weekly program of information on how you can make your senior year shine. I'm Kathy Van Skoik. Speaking of threads, this program is the result of following a series of exciting threads that began with Sarah Warren, an employee at St. John's Meadows, a senior living community in Rochester, New York. Its mission is to help their residents embrace living during every stage of life. While doing research on podcasts that cover senior living, Sarah came across Silver Threads and thought it could be a great fit for some of the topics at St. John's that they're interested in. Well, Sarah contacted Ruth Finney, our program director, who in turn offered Sarah's suggestion to me. Always interested in using local groups and Silver Threads programs, I was eager to connect with Sarah to see what she had in mind. One way the residents embrace living during every stage of life is through intergenerational programs with local schools that encourage dynamic, mutually beneficial exchanges between the two generations. What I discovered in communicating with Sarah was that the program connecting Nazareth College students with residents at St. John's Meadows is an exceptional example of intergenerational learning. Sarah offered to coordinate a meeting with Nazareth Professor of Psychology and Gerontology, Dr. David Stites, Chantel Foster, St. John's Resident Life Director, and Tom Harner, Marketing and Communications Manager, and myself last August. Sarah offered a preview of the topics which Dr. Stites and Chantel would be discussing, which included the history behind the collaborative program with Nazareth and St. John's Meadows beginning in 2009, and the classes that they have offered every semester since. Classes emphasize the reciprocal nature of the programs and the immense benefit to both students and elders, the term that has been chosen to use for the participating residents. Looking back on my program topics, I saw that I hadn't presented one specifically on intergenerational learning in several years. So I was even more eager to learn about the program, which is officially termed SCIL, or St. John's Collaborative for Intergenerational Learning. The meeting, which occurred last August at St. John's Meadows, was exciting and inspiring. As I listened to Dr. Stites and Chantel, it was clear that senior living communities should make these programs a priority, and how St. John's has built a reputation in the community for having them. I learned that the coursework in gerontology is important to the students who are preparing for careers in disciplines such as physical therapy, occupational therapy, nursing, music therapy, speech pathology, and medicine. I learned that SCIL strives to understand and build upon the experiences and strengths of all students, elders, and community partners to serve the physical, social, cognitive, and emotional wants and needs of older adults. Elders reflect upon their lives and share their milestones, accomplishments, successes, and disappointments with students. One of several things that stood out was the level of humility required of Dr. Stites to be flexible enough to allow the boundaries of traditional classroom to be expanded, allowing the elders to help select and present the weekly topics for class discussions. And not only did the elders' participation in the courses enhance Nazareth students' learning, they were in fact students as well. Their role expanded to complete with the students all assignments and projects that were required for the class. To say that I was impressed would be a gross understatement. The incredible passion that Dr. Stites and Chantel expressed for their involvement with these students and elders made it apparent to me that they needed to tell you in their own words of the evolution of the courses and the successes they witnessed and experienced themselves. Today we'll be hearing about a program of intergenerational learning which pairs students and their professor from Nazareth College in Rochester with residents at St. John's Meadows Senior Living Complex. I'd like to introduce two guests here in the studio with me today. First, Dr. David Stites, Professor of Psychology and Gerontology at Nazareth College.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you. And my next guest is Chantel Foster, Resident Life Director at St. John's Meadows.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me as well.
We're glad to have you both. Dr. Stites, you began a series of courses with the St. John's Collaborative for Intergenerational Learning, or the SCIL, in 2009. Can you tell us a bit about why you began it?
Well, I actually went to graduate school at Syracuse, and my first opportunities to teach about aging were in large lecture halls, which, while I enjoyed it, I knew I wanted to go into teaching from those wonderful experiences. I realized pretty early on that for my students to really understand about older adults, we needed to be with older adults and experience older adults in the classroom with us. So in 2009, I was fortunate to be approached by some of the administration at St. John's and some of my colleagues from other universities and colleges in the area. And we sat down and figured out how we could build this collaboration and bring together academia, the community, and St. John's.
Sounds like an amazing and creative idea for teaching students while invigorating those seniors. Is there anything else like this in the country, or could this be a model for other academic programs?
There are other schools that do this. It's certainly not a new model. But what I think kind of really sets us apart is how we focus not only on the professional development of our students, but also the personal development. We make sure that every semester we modify our courses. We've been there, it's 10 years now. So we make sure we do something that's different every time to keep it interesting for the elders, to make them want to keep coming back. And then as we focus on the professional development of our students and making sure we meet certain course outcomes and they meet certain requirements, we embed lots of personal opportunities for them to spend as much time both inside and outside of the classroom with the elders as possible.
Excellent. Your courses are designed to develop students' skills necessary to pursuing meaningful careers. Do you have any stories of previous students who've gone on to careers in gerontology?
I do actually have a student. She has actually gone on to be the executive director of a local senior living community. And actually, just in talking with her recently, it was so humbling just to hear about how these experiences at St. John's really reinforced her desire to work with older adults. But just in terms of what she learned from the courses about aging, but then also how to interact in a meaningful kind of way and really meet the needs best of the residents that she now has.
Well, it must give you a great sense of satisfaction seeing this program come to fruition. What gives you the most gratification?
That's a good question. St. John's really has become kind of my second home in terms of I have my campus community and campus home. But then every Tuesday when we go over to St. John's and have our classes, it's the interaction with the elders and what we can learn in just a two-hour course once a week on a Tuesday evening, what I can learn and what my students can take away from the experiences that the elders have had and what they're willing to share. It's so meaningful to my life, both as a college professor, but also as a husband and a father.
Thank you for sharing that. You have good reason to be proud of the program and its growth. Now, Chantel, as the Resident Life Director at St. John's, you certainly have some real connections with the residents. In what ways do you help facilitate these intergenerational programs?
Well, when I stepped into the role as the Resident Life Director in 2018, many of these amazing programs like the Nazareth Collaborative had already been existing for so long, as David said. And so I just get to continue to cultivate alongside him in his program. And I get to really enjoy and watch and kind of stand back, but continue to work with the residents to make this really what they want it to be. Back when our administration really realized that this was something that they wanted to venture in, it wasn't just about lectures or it wasn't just about a partnership with colleges that they wanted. They wanted it to be a collaborative experience where the residents are forming and shaping the course. And David really gave our administration and our residents that opportunity. So it wasn't just about learning. Everyone wants to be a lifelong learner. That's important. But it was also about their opportunity to mentor and to guide the coursework, which I just think is amazing.
Well, you have a great example of a couple who moved to St. John's Meadows from Florida just because of this program. Could you tell our listeners about that?
Yeah. So this wonderful couple, they live in our independent living, and they are just dynamos. I think that's the best way I can describe them. They came from Florida. They had lived there for about 23 years. They originally lived here in the in our area. Both actually had been very involved in health education in their professional careers, and both in the collegiate world, but also in middle school and high school experiences for health education. So education was really in their blood. And when they were looking to come back to Rochester to be closer to one of their children, they were in their later 80s. They said to themselves, you know, it's time for us to come home. I know, it's pretty amazing. These are really special people. So as they came back to the Rochester area in the summertime, they started looking at communities and were saying to themselves, you know, what are the things that we're looking for in a community? And had heard about St. John's intergenerational programs, one of which was the Nazareth Collaborative at that time, and came in on a summer and just sat down in some of those courses, and they were blown away. They said that, you know, this is a place that they can continue to pursue their passions and their interests. And they just felt kind of a different spirit at St. John's, which I think really describes who we are. It's a place where when you come in, you know, you can find the things that you love and you can continue to do those things. And it's because of partnerships like this. So they're pretty cool people. They actually were in the Coast Guard and they served for 25 years. They taught trainings and rescues, and basically they really shared so many things in common. But the wife, she's pretty amazing. She's actually continuing to swim in our pool, and years prior to this she was a national champion in the Masters Swimming Association, which is basically a program where you have to swim for an hour. And so this kind of can describe this person. She's just amazing. She's strong-willed. She's determined. And he and she both wrote books together in health education. They're just really amazing people. So they were those types of folks who really wanted to stay active and who wanted to continue to pursue education. So coming to this and seeing this is really what they were looking for. They wanted to be challenged. They said they'd come home with homework. Yes, homework. And they found that it was just, you know, it was challenging at the same time, and it was a continuation of their passions and interests that they were hoping for.
And it's because we have those sorts of elders in the course that that's kind of what makes what we do unique, in the sense that it's frightening as a professor to go into a course not knowing exactly what you're going to do for the entire semester. So for a couple of my courses, like for example, my Issues in Aging course, I'll go in without having a textbook picked. I don't know what the primary readings are going to be. And we spend the first couple of weeks of the course allowing the students and the elders to talk to one another. And the elders get to voice what they think the issues are around aging that we should actually be talking about now. So I have to kind of relinquish my role as a professor, where I should have everything laid out and set to go, and allow the elders to really build the course. And it's because of elders like that, where they're coming in with opinions. They know what they want to do. They don't want a course, or they don't want just the typical experience where a lecturer comes in and talks about some current event that's going on, which is fine and good and absolutely has a purpose. But the elders in these courses want a challenge. They want to be part of the course. We actually have writing in the syllabus now where I really make an effort, and it really came from the elders. They actually wrote part of this, where we don't refer to the elders as you guys. We don't refer to the elders as something separate or different from the students. They are students in the class, just like the NAS students are, with the only exception being they don't have a grade at the end of the semester. But they do everything else that the students do. They can write reflections. Back when we had exams, some of them actually would take the exams. We don't do exams anymore. It doesn't work in a course where it's really more about professional and personal growth and discovery. But they'll sit right up there with the students, working on the presentations and the panels, doing everything with them, helping to redesign the courses every semester. They're not just passive recipients of what we're doing. And I made that mistake early on in this collaboration, going in thinking, I knew what we should talk about. I know what the issues that are important to older adults are. And it's some of the elders at St. John's that said, actually, Dr. Stites, you're wrong. Those are not what's actually important or relevant to us right now. We should actually be talking about these things. And I had to be willing to just kind of let go and allow them to take the courses where they wanted to go.
And yeah, I will say, though, despite all of those things that was so accommodating and, you know, honoring of the residents, that you were including them in all of those things, they do say that they feel that you're also teaching them new ways to look at it about aging, they come out with different perspectives in a more positive way. And as we know, this whole course not only benefits them emotionally and cognitively in all those ways, but they're able to find purpose again. They're able to feel that they're mentoring the next generation. But I just wanted to mention that, you know, you are teaching them as well about aging and aging well.
Well, thank you. And that's, I think, what makes it so meaningful and relevant for the students in the class is the elders are open to new experiences and learning and sharing their experiences that they've had, both good and bad, over the courses of their lives, and relating it to what we read in a textbook or in a research article or a current news event, and being able to make those connections where they can share, yes, that was my experience, or no, I didn't have this experience. This is how I adapted or compensated or dealt with that setback in my life. And to hear those personal kinds of pieces from the elders, which I can't share as a 40-something-year-old professor in their course. I don't know what it's like to have Social Security or to not have access to health care or all of these different pieces that elders can talk about and share and help my students to understand.
So what would be the biggest takeaway then for these students from having this amazing opportunity to work with these elders?
There's no one way or right way to grow old, I think, is sort of my summary. I think students, they have a fear around aging. They have a fear around growing old. They don't understand it. They have limited access to older adults in their own lives. And so what they do think they know about older adults, they'll read in a newspaper somewhere. They'll see a story on the news where an older adult had a car accident, and they'll think, well, older adults shouldn't drive. I actually, interestingly, don't allow students to do papers or presentations on older adults and driving anymore, because they allow these stereotypes and these misconceptions of aging to sort of filter into their writing and how they talk about the elders in the room. But it's for the students to realize that, yeah, the textbook talks about this, and this is maybe one way it can go. But then to have an elder say, actually not, that's not my experience, or maybe it was, but I figured out ways around that or ways to deal with those issues, personal or professional. That's what makes, I think, it really interesting for my students, because these are students who are going to be physical therapists and occupational therapists and social workers who are going to be spending significant amount of time with older adults. And they can't just see the individual as just an older adult, but as a person just like them who happens to be older, but is bringing all of these other pieces with them to that experience. So they have to understand how they treat or talk to the whole individual. And these courses give my students an opportunity to understand all those other aspects of the person.
How absolutely fortunate those students and those elders are to be able to participate in something like this. Thank you both again for taking the time to be here and tell us all about this exciting and innovative program. I know the listeners are going to be very interested. Thank you.
Well, thank you. It was my pleasure.
If hearing from Dr. Stites and Chantel made you want to hear more about SCIL, you are not alone. I have drawn from some of the papers Dr. Stites has written more on to individual courses that are part of Nazareth and St. John's curriculum. To cite this article, David W. Stites, Yan Ten Tan, and Aldi Di Peranto, 2018, The Teaching of Gerontology, 7 Years of Discourse Design, Redesign, and Assessment in a Multi-Generational Classroom, from Gerontology and Geriatrics Education. And I'll start first with the course PSY 226, Adult and Late Life. It's a survey course with focus on acquiring content, both from a textbook as well as from the elders in the course. It was soon apparent that the textbook did not fully connect with what was learned in class and was not always helpful. As a result, a major component of the course was the intergenerational exchange occurring during each class meeting. These exchanges, sometimes around the course content, but also personal and social issues, were becoming a major hallmark of the learning content. One student offered this in her reflective writing requirement for the course. Not having strong relationships with elders growing up, just talking to the elders was very beneficial in allowing me to see that not every elder you come across is cantankerous and utterly helpless, as the media likes to portray. Another student shared, "This course will inform my future both personally and professionally. Personally, I have grown closer to my great-grandmother because of this course. She is 90 years old and is intrigued that I have taken courses with people that are older than she is. She appreciates that I am taking the time to learn about issues that impact her generation. The next course is Psychology 354, Issues in Aging. As mentioned by Dr. Stites in the interview, this is an upper-level course typically taken by undergraduates who have declared a minor in gerontology. Students and elders learn about each other in groups, working together toward a common goal in producing oral and visual presentations, allowing for more relevant, timely, and personally meaningful in-class discussions and topic selection for course projects. The issues that are addressed are those that are based on the elders' personal experiences, as well as those that are important and relevant to their lives. As a substitute for exams, students were asked to keep journals that reflect what they learned, both in and out of class, and to give their views of the elders, both personally from those in class, as well as from a broader generational perspective. In this manner, the instructor, students, and elders became a learning team. The majority of the elders in all of these courses come from a professional background, including medicine, teaching, grade school through college and university, nursing, social work, engineering, chemistry, and law. This course has afforded the elders an opportunity to revive their professional training in terms of the presentation of materials to multiple audiences. And last, Psychology 355, Aging and Community Service. This upper-level course contains a service learning component, a requirement in the form of community projects in which the students and elders work together. In addition, as a panel, they present multiple perspectives and opinions on different topics each week, allowing other students and elders to participate in the conversations. The community projects are intended to be fun and address a specific need in the community. For example, students and elders decided to address New York State's shortage of organ donations by holding an organ donation symposium to educate the local community. Other projects included working with Hope Hall School, House of Mercy Homeless Shelter, Veterans Outreach Center, and assisting a Cub Scout pack with the Pinewood Derby. The elders shared their satisfaction with these courses by saying, one of them, "If you want to make an impression, the best way to do that is to get the professor out of the front of the class and allow the students and elders to learn from each other through interactions. This is the best way to change attitude and behavior. 99% of classes are not like this. And this does require a knowledgeable and experienced instructor to oversee the course and guide the process. The most positive feature of these classes is the opportunity to learn about elders and aging through direct interaction with the subjects, which was mentioned by a majority of students on the course evaluation. Talking to elders adds a different feel that no other class can provide. Interactions extends well beyond the classroom. One elder noted that relationships take time to develop. Common interests are important, take some time to be discovered and developed. For example, a simple luncheon can develop into multiple social interactions whereby families and studies are discussed. One elder said, "I have felt free to share what has motivated me and how the decisions I made at their age has cast the journey for my life. It is a situation that is fulfilling for me, particularly since I no longer have my wife with whom to talk." Now, I had the opportunity to talk with that elder. His name was Ken, a remarkable man, when I attended the Aging and Community Service Open House celebrating 10 years of learning together at St. John's this past November. Ken shared with me that he had participated in one of Dr. Stites's classes with three young women, Erin, Sally, and Alex. At the end of the course, Erin asked if he might like to join the three for lunch sometime. He offered to have them join him and his wife in their bungalow at St. John's Meadows, thinking that it would be a better place for them to get to know one another. That was the beginning of a friendship of mutual and joyful caring, sharing, and learning. Ken is very proud of the three young women who are now all finishing their PhD requirement in physical therapy as they continue to keep in communication with Ken, whose wife passed away 2 years ago. All three of the young women were active in sports, Sally and Alex in soccer and Erin in lacrosse. Aware that fully participating in these rugged sports might not be possible for the women in the long term, Ken decided that it might be advantageous for them to learn to play golf, one of his favorite activities. With that, he arranged for the three to take 3 or 4 lessons with a local golf pro. Much to everyone's amazement, the first time on an actual golf course, Erin put the ball on the green in each of the first 3 holes played. The pride in Ken's voice was quite evident as he shared that story. This is a man who spent 24 years in India with his wife as a practicing surgeon. He mentioned that his parents, mother most likely, had saved 24 years' worth of letters that Ken and his wife had sent from the East. Interesting, I thought, but how did it apply to our story of his friendship with Erin, Sally, and Alex? Well, it became clear when he expressed his belief in the importance of writing letters and other forms of written communication. He brought up the Me Too movement and suggested to the women that were they to keep a daily journal of events of their day, that it could serve to substantiate an episode of the type of inappropriate behavior that so often comes down to just a he said, she said situation. Was told by Erin shortly thereafter that she had indeed begun to keep a daily journal. As all three young women were going into the medical field as physical therapists, he told them that they all possessed and carried with them the most important tool to help people heal, and that would be their smiles. I am so very touched to have had a chance to speak with Ken, to listen to his heartfelt sharing about how this most wonderful intergenerational friendship evolved. He finished by telling me that they were as close to him as if they were related by blood, testament to the work that Dr. Stites has promoted with his courses and testament to the fact that age need not be a limiting factor in establishing a strong friendship bond between generations. And I'd like to end with this quote from another elder. It truly shows the impact that these multi-generational experiences is having and looking beyond what is being done in the courses. For the students are the leaders of tomorrow, and to experience their ideas, we can foresee some of the future of the world, its people, its ecology, education, policy, and everyday listening. Thanks for listening, and until next week, I'm Kathy Van Skoik. You've been listening to Silver Threads, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Kathy Van Skoik. I hope you will join me again next week for more information and updates for making the best of your silver years. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.